What's up? This is Movies on Up. The saga continues. This week we are continuing our saga of Star Wars flicks. We're going to be doing Episode 2, Attack of the Clones. And to help me get through that, my Padawan, Mr. Dave Bissella.
That's me.
That's Dave, complete with the long braided rat tail off to the side.
Dorme.
Yeah, holy shit. That's Dave, who just flashed a ridiculous amount of Star Wars knowledge.
Roseburn. Yeah. It was more Roseburn knowledge. Than.
Fair enough. That's Dave. I'm Ryan. We are Movies on Up. The saga continues is our tagline, our very appropriate tagline for this week. Hint, hint, nod, nod. If you think you know what movie that comes from, and I think we'll talk about it probably a little to a lot this week.
It's not Ghost Dad.
No, it isn't. But if you want to keep putting Ghost Dad on our Facebook page or wherever you were doing it, that's cool because it makes us feel good in the cockles of our hearts. But if you think you know what movie the saga continues, it might be this one. What movie that comes from, send your guess to us in one of the three following ways. Email moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave your guess on our Facebook page right below the Ghost Dad comments at facebook.com/moviesonup, or you can tweet your answer directly at Padawan Dave Bissella at moviesonup on the Twitter. If you are correct, and if we choose you, you'll get a prize package, which is probably a clone of all the other prize packages that we have sent out over the years. We like to kind of clone things. We're cloning this episode much the way we do all of our discussion episodes, where we will talk box office right at the front. And with any Star Wars movie, a good Star Wars movie or a bad Star Wars movie, there is a tale to tell at the box office. This movie opened on May 16th of 2002, so we're almost 13 years to the day by the time we record this, for when we were all attacked by the clones. Directed by George Lucas, starring Hayden Christensen, Natalie Portman, and Ewan McGregor. When this movie opened in May of 2002, it opened number one in the box office that week with $80 million. Spider-Man was number two at $45 million. This movie went on to gross $310 million, which is good for 44th on the all-time domestic list. There are sequels above and below. One good, one, well, I take that back, because I know you don't like the sequel that's above it, and I know for damn sure you don't like the sequel that's below it. I'd suspect that you like them both better than Attack of the Clones, but if you can guess the Marvel sequel directly above Attack of the Clones.
Would you say 310?
Yes. Just slightly more than $310.
Is that $10. Iron Man 2?
That is correct. Iron Man 2 is 43rd place and number 45. Giant franchise where the first was super successful, and they've all been progressively shittier since then. I mentioned this actor.
Hangover?
No, it is not the Hangover 2. It is Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End, number 45, just to give you some context into where Star Wars Episode 2 lies within the grand scheme of things. For those of you that have seen this movie, for those of you that have not, I know one person walking the face of the planet that actually thinks that Star Wars Episode 2 is their favorite Star Wars movie. And it is my dear friend Jack's sister, Sarah.
Has she only seen one Star Wars movie?
No, she has seen them all. She's legit. She just loves her some Padme. And this is, in fact, a Padme movie. So Episode 2 is her favorite. Other than Sarah, everyone else on the face of the planet really doesn't have the greatest of things to say about this movie. But before we get into the bad, of which there is enough, I would like to say some good things about Star Wars.
I'll sit this part out.
Episode 2. All right, apparently Dave doesn't have very many things to say, but what I will say is that in many good sci-fi movies, world building is forefront. I did like the worlds that we went to in Episode 2. I thought the scenes on Coruscant at the beginning are really kind of cool. It feels like a giant, busy metropolis. When we get the speeder chase, you get an idea of just how big this entire world that is just one city is, how deep it is, how the city's built level upon level upon level. So I liked seeing Coruscant. We do see it in Episode 1, but we don't kind of see its seedy underbelly that we see in Episode 2, and it feels a little bit like a detective flick at the beginning, which I kind of like as well. I also liked the cloners world of Kamino. You didn't see very much. It was basically just a floating platform a la Cloud City in basically a giant sea with some really shitty weather. It was raining all the time. Not much to look at. It was very stark. It was very sterile, which I think is probably an appropriate description of what I believe a cloning facility is like, because we all know they exist. But I like those two planets specifically. One thing that I remember about seeing this movie in the theater was the spaceship chase between Django and Obi-Wan. The sound design in that scene was incredible, and it's Dave just saw it for the first time today. So depending on how good your sound system is, when those, I don't even know what to call them, like mines essentially, were exploding the asteroids, if you're not getting that in like ear-rattling surround sound that we got in the theaters, it's not going to make much sense. But I thought it was tremendous. You would see the explosion, and then a good half a second later, very jarring sound effects. And I don't often notice sound design, to be perfectly honest with you, but to this day, 13 years later, it's still really, really awesome. And every time I see it, I just think back to sitting in that theater going, oh, shit, that's loud. What I think a lot of people probably don't know is I have a lot of favorite Star Wars characters. It just depends on what day of the week you catch me. More often than not, I'll tell you that my favorite is Lando Calrissian. But if you tell me, gun to my head, I have to pick a character that is a Jedi. Who's my favorite Jedi character? We meet him in episode 2. We see him in his green dreadlocked glory, and that is Kit Fisto. So this movie will always have a special place in my heart for Kit Fisto. When we really see him is at the battle in the arena in Geonosis. And really up until this point, you know, we had seen lightsaber duels where it's one-on-one, maybe two-on-one. But to see that number of lightsabers just light up in the crowd, I thought was really, really rad. It's something that obviously in the original trilogy, the Jedi are wiped out, and there's only two Sith. So you just don't see that volume. And I thought that was a really cool visual to see. And you knew shit was about to get real, and it did get real. There was a really good larger scale battle. You know, we got to see the Gungans fight the battle droids in episode 1, but it's not quite the same as seeing a giant group of Jedi tear through.
That I'll give you. I do like, but it comes after.
It comes a long way into the movie.
Yeah, my problem with this movie all around, it's a big, dumb movie. Like, it's a big, dumb, stupid movie. To your first point about world building,
yeah,
I somewhat agree, but I kind of don't so much with this one. Everything seems so fake. I couldn't get into the world. I didn't like the speeder chase at the beginning with the falling off of cars and stuff because it felt just big and stupid. It felt like it was just thrown in there to be action. I didn't feel like I gained anything from it. Leading up to the big Jedi battle, the Colosseum part with the monsters fighting them, that was just big and stupid. I didn't gain anything from it. It didn't get us anywhere.
It got us a bare midriff of Natalie Portman.
Yeah, but you could have done that other ways. Some stuff just felt like it was so stupid and just thrown in there for action purposes that took me out of the world building, that took me out of the caring about anything. It was just a big, stupid, dumb movie. And it had a lot of big, stupid, dumb set pieces, which I do like the cloning stuff. The cloning stuff was cool. Your other point about that chase, that was cool. But there's just so much extra stuff that just was dumb and stupid.
Point of order, this is still the section where we're talking good about the movie?
Yes, that's my... So that's all I have to say about okay. The positive stuff.
It's a big, dumb movie. I just have one other point, and it is about kind of the end of the movie. Seeing the clones kind of show up reminds me of... And as well it should. Reminds me of the Stormtroopers from the original trilogy. And any time that the prequels remind me of the original trilogy, that's a good thing. More of that. It felt closer to Star Wars seeing them.
Yeah, but why are so many CGI? Like, that is what kept taking me out of it, is that your budget is in the hundreds of millions. You can't buy a suit. You can't buy... I get that if you have thousands of them in one shot, okay, I'll let the CGI slide, but Padme talking to one soldier, you can't make that a dude in a suit. Like, you have to CGI one soldier on the screen. It's white plastic. You cannot tell me that It's cheaper to CGI all these dudes than to buy a couple hundred plastic suits.
I'm here to tell you, they wouldn't even need to buy the suits. There's enough dudes carrying around those suits now. I met a shit ton of them last month. Oh, hey, man, do you want to be in Attack of the Clones? Are you out of your fucking mind? Absolutely. How much do I have to pay? Oh, good thinking. That's what a good producer would do. I mentioned that most people, this might be their least favorite Star Wars movie. Dave had not seen it until today. So before today,
I hated Episode One so much, I skipped this one for 15 years.
So my point is, until today, Dave's least favorite Star Wars movie was Episode One. And we did that last month, and we kind of went through a list of things that were not good about Episode One. I'd like to revisit those to see if they fixed them in the sequel, if they listened to what was not just our outcry many, many years later, but were fair criticisms at the time. Our number one thing that we hated about Episode One was the midichlorians. Not really discussed so much here. So that's good. That was bad. We sort of forget about it. Number two is a point that Dave's already brought up. It is the worlds looking too CGI. They didn't feel like Tunisia. And that's still the case here. I mean, Kamino, Coruscant, these were pretty much giant 100% CGI worlds.
Big, so, stupid set pieces.
Right, which is still the same that we would get from Episode One and pretty similar to what we'd get from Episode Three. But to further that, Yoda was a puppet in Episode One. Episode Two, they had to move to the CG Yoda. And you could sort of understand why.
I get it through some of it, but yeah, if he's not jumping around doing flips and stuff, give me a puppet.
Yeah, I think that coulda, woulda, shoulda been done. They should have done that. They didn't. Number three is an interesting point. Vader is a kid, and Dave hated that. Oh, God, he hated 9-year-old Darth Vader with a burning passion. How did you feel about 18-year-old Darth
Vader? You know
Vader?
What? And this is the thing that turned me off most about this movie. The time jump. You have little stupid 9-year-old stupid Anakin, and then all of a sudden, like, oh, Anakin's a man, but yet hot, young-looking Natalie Portman from the first movie is still hot, young-looking Natalie Portman in the second movie. Like, she just was frozen for 10 years. Like, I can't get past that. It does not make sense. Why has he doubled in size and become somehow a worse actor, and she's exactly the same? I've seen women age. Natalie Portman still looks great, but she looks exactly the same. She looks like she's aged 2 months, and he's a completely different person. Literally, a completely different person. I cannot get past that. Why wasn't she younger in the first one? Why didn't you go with a younger Amidala?
An actual 14-year-old.
Yes. I do not understand the casting there. Like, here's a little child playing Anakin, who all through Episode One, I know that that child's going to fuck that hot chick, and I can't get past it. And now all of a sudden, here's these, like, doubled in size, and he's still going to nail this hot chick who's just as hot as she was when he was 9. That doesn't make sense to me. Like, it takes me completely out of the movie. I couldn't be taken more out of it if Eddie Murphy was playing Anakin in the second one. It's a completely different person, and it doesn't make sense to me. Now, if somebody old, if they would have cast up for Natalie Portman, okay. How is one now a completely new person and the other one is exactly the same?
With that age, I mean, you could see somebody if they were like maybe between 51 and 60. Maybe there's
14
not,
to 24.
Yeah, that's a little bit different. I don't,
because I never bought her as 14 in the first place. I know 14-year-old Natalie Portman. She was in The Professional.
Yeah, she was unavailable in 2002 for this flick. Number four was droids used as fan service. I didn't really think that they were this time. I thought they had already been introduced. So having
the 3PO scene in the battle, do we need that?
That was a little much.
The jokes. This is an overall problem with his head's being dragged and, oh, what a drag. And then he puts his head next to him. I'm beside myself. Shut up. Like, Anthony Daniels, you're better than that. You should be able to read these and say, I'm not saying these.
I think he should just cash that check. Really, if you want to blame Anthony Daniels, and we'll probably get it.
Oh, I don't blame him.
I will guarantee we'll get into more of this later. But I think a lot of actors, when they saw the script for this movie, coulda, woulda said, I'm not reading this. But This is not a great script turned in by George and Katie Lucas.
That is the nicest way to say it.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about it later. Number five, the fifth thing that we hated about episode one was Jar Jar. Not so much a factor in this one. We see him right at the beginning. Yep, he's still there. He's still alive. He hasn't been killed in 9 years. And we just move along, and that's fine with me. Six was the Darth Maul usage in episode one. Obviously not a factor in episode two as we've moved on.
Well,
to
at least
new
this
baddie.
Time they introduced Jango Fett. Okay, I'll watch two movies of them fighting Jango Fett, who could be a really cool bad guy. Okay, they learned from the mistake. You introduce an awesome bad guy, you cut him in half. At least we get Jango Fett, so we got two movies of this awesome bad guy.
Well, we got...
Oh, no, we don't. We have old people.
Almost a
full. Let all the old people live. Kill the cool ones. Awesome dude with a jetpack. Old guy. Which one do we kill?
Hey, in the Star Wars universe, if you live to be old, it's because you're badass. Only the good die young.
Then give the old dude a jetpack. Do something. Jetpack and a double-ended lightsaber. Problem solved.
He had a bent one. It was fine. Number seven... Lots and lots of exposition. As I said, there's probably never, ever been a good movie about trade embargoes and trade talks. Much less about that this time, but a lot of CSI OBI as he's traversing the galaxy trying to figure out the mystery of this clone army.
I feel like the exposition in the first movie was replaced with just big dumb action sequences. The Colosseum thing with the monsters, the chase at the beginning. Like, I just feel like those were thrown in because he was trying to stretch it. And whereas exposition at least served a purpose, these big dumb action sequences did nothing.
But you got to know your audience. If your audience is 10-year-olds, do they want to hear Palpatine explain about trade embargoes on Naboo? Or do you want to see Natalie Portman getting clawed at by, you know, dinosaur cats?
And the
I'm
thing is,
take the, dino
the
cats.
Story in the second one, way better. I'm way more interested in this clone army.
Sure.
So I wouldn't mind it more exposition to discuss that more, other than
but maybe
out
that's
of cars
maybe
stuff.
That's a case of overcorrection from the first one, where they did such a poor job of really boring you to tears at parts. They just kind of overcorrected in this one and said, oh, shit, we actually had six lines of dialogue. Let's have something maybe outlandish happen. Racist stereotypes in the first one.
Still strong.
Yeah, there's still maybe a couple. I thought the
Asians are hit really hard in this one still.
Yeah, the Asians didn't fare so well. I thought Dax, the diner owner, that was a little rough. I don't think his pants had to fall down, but...
Again, I don't... know that it's racism because I don't give George Lucas that much credit. I feel like it's just ignorance on his part, which is no better, but I don't feel like it was blatant.
It's not intentional.
Yeah, I don't think it's, I'm going to make Asians look like bumbling idiots. I think it's just, he's just that not in touch.
The last one we've kind of hit a couple times is the pacing. In episode one, very slow, and then there were times, and I always point to the pod race scene, where that technically is not slow. I mean, that's your car chase in any action movie. But it goes on, I feel like, for days. This movie, I think, was paced better for the kind of movie it was supposed to be. And Dave said it, you know, there's a lot of big, dumb action in it. Maybe there's too much big, dumb action in it. But if you're going to err on a side, I think you err on the side of big, dumb action, which is what they did here. There were a couple scenes that I felt went on too long, and I'm not sure if it's just because I had been spoiled by the pacing of two, where there was so much action. If there happened to be 5 to 7 minutes where there wasn't any, I was like, wait, what the hell's going on? Or if it's just when there's not a lightsaber battle going on, people are probably talking. And the dialogue in this movie was awful. So I think it just makes any part that there isn't big, dumb action really stand out.
Are we allowed to talk about the bad stuff yet?
Almost.
Because I want to go off on this dialogue.
I know you do. Give me 3 minutes then. I think a lot of these things that were wrong with the first one either didn't apply to the second one or were just as bad. So if they fixed some of the things from the first movie, like the exposition and maybe a little bit of the pacing, this should be a better movie then, right? Can't be as bad as episode one. But it is. And I think, at least for me, and Dave's already mentioned half of it, and I'm sure he's going to get to the other half, the part that really makes episode two a steaming pile of bantha poodoo is the cardboard love story. I'll never defend Hayden Christensen as being a good or even competent actor, but Natalie Portman is. And I would say they were given less than shit dialogue to work with, and more on that in a minute. The character was written as such a whiny bitch that it defies all logic that any woman would let him inside her, which we all know, as Dave already mentioned, you know from the first time you meet Anakin in episode one that he is going to nail that. And even in two, as he's whining his way through the entire movie, she's still going to let him nail that.
And not just whining, he's creepy. Oh, she blocked the camera, probably because she was tired of me watching her.
Which, in fairness, maybe shouldn't come off as creepy, but his delivery or lack thereof, that makes it creepy.
That's the problem. This, whereas you looked at the negatives that we pointed out in Phantom Menace and see if they corrected them, what you didn't do is look at what we thought was positive about Phantom Menace and see if they continued it. I praised some of the acting. I said McGregor and Portman were really good in the first one, and Emperor Palpatine, McDormand, or whatever his name is. All that's gone. I feel like everybody's just mailing it in. I feel like he didn't let anybody act in this movie. I feel like it was just, hey, you read this dialogue. And the dialogue's so bad that Ewan McGregor's not saving it. Natalie Portman's not saving it.
You can't spit shine a turd.
It's so bad. And the attempts at jokes are god-awful. And it's bad that a lot of them are delivered by Anakin, who cannot deliver a regular line, let alone a joke. So you have these, basically a cardboard box doing a 5-minute stand-up set, and that probably would have been more compelling because his delivery of these terrible jokes, like you can properly deliver a bad joke. Like good delivery can overcome a bad joke. Poor delivery of a bad joke is just a train wreck, and that's what the whole movie is. McGregor even just feels like he's mailing it in. Like, even his jokes. Like, Ewan McGregor could be hilarious. I just feel like everybody just kind of showed up and just read what was given to him, and that was the end of the effort. Whereas I thought there was some good performances in episode one. All those are gone. I couldn't praise anybody in this, and most of it's because the script is so terrible. I don't care what world you're in. People don't talk like that. Everybody talks in the same boring monotone. He wrote dialogue and not character. It's so poorly written.
I agree with you there, and I do agree that most of the performances were really bad. It does feel like the middle. You had episode one, a lot of excitement being the first Star Wars movie in years, and you knew that you were going to make three. This one did feel like they were trying to somehow bridge the gap, like maybe running a really long distance race. Not that either of us have run a marathon, but I would imagine that, you know, you probably start feeling pretty good. You know, you're moving along just fine. And then at the end, you're seeing the finish line and probably finish strong. But then there's like that middle 25 miles where you're slogging through. And it did feel like the actors were slogging through a bad script to make their way to an action break where they can pacify us with lightsaber battles, which, I mean, I felt they did. I love some of those. But I do think that Christopher Lee was actually pretty good as Count Dooku.
I liked him. He was.
He's not Darth Maul. And that's probably the ultimate disservice you can do to that character because they're so different that after you get Darth Maul, who was a complete badass, so scary looking, so mysterious, and then you get what Dave has called an old guy. He could have been a much cooler character, and I still think he was pretty cool. He just suffered the misfortune of coming on the heels of what should have been one of the greatest movie villains of all time. Darth Vader, I believe, it might have been the AFI, it's some acronym, did a list of greatest movie villains of all time, and I think Darth Vader was three. We got nothing out of the prequel trilogy, and maybe had Darth Maul been given a longer run, he could have made it in there. But for what it's worth, and maybe it's just because everything else is such crap, I did like Count Dooku in this movie.
Yeah, but if you put it in perspective and compare Christopher Lee as Count Dooku to what Christopher Lee was doing in Middle Earth at the same time, like, I don't even think they're close.
Apples to oranges as far as the script goes.
Yeah, but I mean, just even as far as performance goes, like, he did what he could with this script.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You give him a good script and he's phenomenal in those movies.
Although, I mean, the scene he has when he's talking to Kenobi about how, I wish Qui-Gon were here, because he'd get it. Like, he would see what was happening. I thought he was really good. Yeah, he's the bad guy. But
that scene was good, but why is Obi-Wan standing so awkwardly in that hologram? That took me out of it. He's, like, standing, like, feet shoulder length apart and arms out. Like, it's like he's, it was so weird.
It was like a containment field. That wasn't a hologram. It was him in there.
Whatever. He looked stupid.
Fair enough. Is there anything else other than the script? Any other big
complaint? We still on the positives?
No.
Oh.
No, we haven't been on the positives since I said what's up.
The script was bad. You touched on the romance between them. There was no chemistry between the two.
No.
And a lot of that comes from a really good actor trying to play off of a dildo. Essentially, I would believe it more because at least I would believe that she has some interest in this dildo. Even if you put the stupid ponytail on the dildo, like, I'm buying that. But other than that, the story was okay. I do like this more than Phantom Menace. Not by much. I mean, they're both pretty terrible. The lack of Jar Jar helped. Just Hayden Christensen.
He's very bad.
He's very, very bad. And I don't get how that happened.
He must have pictures of George Lucas or somebody somewhere. If you look at the actors that were cast in the prequel trilogy, Christopher Lee, long storied career. Ewan McGregor, Liam Neeson, Natalie Portman, Jimmy Smits,
Rose Byrne.
Even Rose Byrne.
I didn't know she was in this. I was all excited to see her.
There's
Sammy Jackson.
Yeah, Samuel L. Jackson, Keisha Castle Hughes. There are a lot of people that have at least turned in some good performances. When I had heard that Hayden Christensen was cast at Darth Vader, my first question was, who the fuck is Hayden Christensen? Even after seeing this movie, I still don't think anybody knows who the hell he is. Because he's had other shots outside of Star Wars, and he hasn't delivered on any of those either. I don't know what he could have done in an audition that would make a group of people say, yes, this is our lead. And if he did something, why the fuck didn't he do it when the movie was being filmed?
Like, it's hard because Shattered Glass, it came out around the same time. It's a decent movie. He's competent in that. He's the lead. He's built up by a supporting cast, but he doesn't.
He's about
he doesn't
author,
bring
or
it.
The reporter, right?
Yeah, he's Stephen Glass. Yeah. He doesn't bring it down. Like, he's competent enough.
Much better script.
Yes, Life is a House. He was competent enough to handle that. That's as nice as I'll get about him. Is competent enough? You can't be competent with that terrible of a script. They're 0-2 on Anakin's because Lloyd was terrible too. But I would rather...
I thought he was fine. As what he was given.
With what he was given, I thought, oh, this can't get any worse.
Yep.
And then it did.
Oh, it got a whole hell of a lot worse.
So I was wanting Jake Lloyd back, which is sad. He was Sam Worthington before Sam Worthington was Sam Worthington, because, you know, Sam Worthington lucks into this Avatar role where he doesn't really do anything.
Better in Avatar than Hayden Christensen was in...
Which it's hard not to be.
Right.
But now he's locked into all these Avatar movies. His post-Avatar career, nobody cares about him. Like, he had his chances. Nobody cares about Sam Worthington. That's what happened to Hayden Christensen. I mean, that Jumper, Jumper movie.
Rachel Bilson cares about him.
Oh, are they still?
I don't know if they're still married, but, I mean, he must have convinced her somehow.
I'm baffled. Like, there's been bad casting decisions, but, like, this is what your franchise... This is your building this franchise around this guy. This is one of the most iconic characters in film history.
I mean, you knew whoever they cast in episode 2, that's your guy for 3, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, which I wouldn't have been opposed to a recast in 3. I mean, I'd bring in Eddie Murphy for 3. I don't care. You've already completely changed the person. Why not make it a James Bond type thing? And there's just a different Anakin in every movie. I'd have been okay with that. the dude's just so bad. Like, if you were to cut every line that Anakin had in the movie and just make one super cut and just make one, like, 8-minute YouTube video, you would swear it's like a sketch, that it's like a bad dream or something. Like, it can't be real. You cannot be this bad in this big of a movie, right?
You would think so, but as it turns out, he was just that bad. Bad acting with a bad script. Now, I'd like to do a little bit of a social experiment here. You mentioned pulling some of the Anakin Skywalker lines and, you know, trying to deliver them and not be a dildo. So, Dave, what we're going to do right now is reenact one of the love scenes from Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones. And we had done a drawing earlier.
Oh, I picked card 2.
You did, but I've already switched it.
Oh.
Because you've had specific vitriol for Anakin Skywalker. Card 2 would have made you Padme. Okay. Yes, but I am going to overrule that because fuck it. I can do that. And I'm going to give you the role of Anakin Skywalker. And we're going to see if we can do this. Now, this is the first time Dave has seen this dialogue. So obviously he's not spent any amount of time rehearsing it. We've never run these lines with each other. But I just want to see how close we can get to actually finished product of episode 2, where somebody said, cut, yeah, that's a keeper. We're moving on to the giant lizard cat battle. So, Dave, whenever you're ready, from the top, this is the scene, I believe it's by the fireplace, the lake house, where essentially, the lizard cat is out of the bag, and Anakin lays all his cards on the table, confesses his deep, deep love for Natalie Portman. This is basically laying the groundwork for the laying of the pipe that's going to happen.
From the moment I met you, all those years ago, not a day has gone by when I haven't thought of you. And now that I'm with you again, I'm in agony. The closer I get to you, the worse it gets. The thought of not being with you, I can't breathe. I'm haunted by the kiss that you should never have given me. My heart is beating, hoping that kiss will not become a scar. You are in my very soul, tormenting me. What can I do? I will do anything you ask. If you are suffering as much as I am, please tell me.
I can't. We can't. It's not possible.
Anything is possible, Padme. Listen to me.
No, you listen. We live in a real world. Come back to it. You're studying to become a Jedi. I'm a senator. If you follow your thoughts through a conclusion, it will take us to a place that we cannot go, regardless of the way we feel about each other.
Then you do feel something.
I will not let you give up your future for me.
You're asking me to be rational. That is something I know I cannot do. Believe me, I wish I could just wish away my feelings. But I can't.
And scene. Solid work, Mr. Dave Bisella. If I were recasting episode 2, I would probably take a long look at you. You'd get a callback.
That felt like Twilight to me. Like, that felt like Twilight dialogue.
You know what? That might be doing a disservice to Twilight, to be completely honest with you. It's some bad shit. And that's not even like, you mentioned the YouTube videos of terrible Anakin dialogue. The sand scene, it's everywhere. Christ almighty. People have pulled that out because it is just that bad. But, I mean, that scene there, it's two dead fish flopping.
And the thing is that's some of the best written dialogue in the movie. Like, it's still bad. There's some good stuff in there.
I wish I could wish away my Really?
There's some.
Is English
maybe,
your first language,
maybe I'm
young
being
Skywalker?
Generous. I'm being generous.
I think you are.
There are some good ideas in there. The idea of comparing his love for her to torture and torment. Like, there's good ideas there that if somebody with talent could look over those and rewrite that into a really powerful scene. The blueprint's there. It just needs rearranged a little bit. The couch is in the middle of the living room.
It's a nice couch.
You just need somebody to feng shui it and get that couch where people aren't tripping over it.
Which I think we get a lot with George Lucas. I love Star Wars. George Lucas created it. So I really can't sit here and take pot shots at the guy because he created something that I love. You know, these characters that I love. Broad strokes, he does a pretty good job. But there has to be somebody else that kind of comes in, buffs things out, makes them sound less like robots and more like characters. And that's something that we didn't get very much at all in the prequel trilogy, especially not, you know, when he's writing and directing
everything
basically
sounds,
his own script.
Everything sounds like a first draft.
Straight out of the big yellow legal notepad.
Yeah, like you write it down and you think, I'm going to go through and touch it up later. This is just what I want them to say. I'll polish it up later. And then just they
ran out of money for that because they had to CGI
all the stormtroopers. Like, he's standing 2 feet from her. You can't just have a guy in a suit.
Well, they did. I guarantee you they had a guy in a green suit with, like, little tennis balls on him or whatever they do. They paid that guy.
So angry.
Anger leads to hate.
And when Lil Boba picks up his helmet, why didn't the head fall out?
I don't know. Dave, I really don't know.
How powerful would that have been? Just
I think that probably would have moved things to a different rating.
And he puts the helmet on and just flies away with an invisible jetpack.
With a little kid jetpack that you know he probably got, like you know, like your dad buys you that tool belt. To my dad bought me
and
like
a little tiny,
play tools.
Little tiny Millennium Falcon. Like bumps into him. He goes, "Hey, I'm jetpacking here," and it sets up that rivalry.
Yeah, exactly. A very young Han Solo flying around in a very tiny Millennium Falcon. It would have been very cute, but alas, we did not get that in Episode 2. I do feel like, though, that a great burden has been lifted off of us, because from here on out, I mean, I know you don't really like Episode 3.
Compared to these two movies, I love it.
Yes,
I
absolutely
adore this movie.
And really, that's kind of where I want to end. Is I mentioned after seeing Episode 1. So jacked to see it. Could not fathom a world in where Episode 1 wasn't the greatest cinematic experience of my life, having not been able to see the original trilogy in the theaters at the time of their release. Walking out of that movie theater going, uh-oh, I'm going to go see it again. And I did. I saw it a bunch and was like, oh.
Was I drugged?
Am I high? This is my fourth favorite Star Wars movie by a pretty large margin. And they're going to make two more. After I left the theater from seeing this one, it was DEFCON 5. I was like, holy shit, we have another one, and I don't think this is getting any better at all. So I went from having, in the span of 2 years, going in with the highest of high expectations for Episode 1, leaving the theater from Episode 2 thinking, well, of course I'm going to see the third one, but, oh God, it's going to be atrocious. Which is saying a lot from where I was.
So maybe
that's why I like Episode 3.
Because the expectations were tempered.
It's not like I haven't seen Episode 3 since then.
I haven't. I haven't watched it since theater. So I may be. I don't know what my tone will be. I didn't hate it in theaters, but
it is my third favorite Star Wars movie. It's right square in the middle. So I do at least feel like from here on out, I don't hate any of them. So I'm hoping that, you know, we've kind of made that turn. And from every month throughout the rest of the year until we get to December when The Force Awakens, that at least our episodes will have more of a positive vibe. I do think, though, I like how our Masterpiece Theater went. There may be some more of that coming to Episode 3. We'll see. But thanks for, you know, bearing with us through Episodes 1 and 2. Not the greatest Star Wars fare out there, but you can't have the story of Anakin Skywalker without having Episode 1 and 2. So you kind of just got to grin and bear it. Thank you for bearing it with us.
Until next week.
Keep it up.